Again in Cambridge Avenue, and we trust that God will really give help tonight, because we're dealing with, well, it's a very, very solemn, a very serious, and yet a subject that needs to be dealt with. So I would endorse the warm welcome that has been given. And I would like you to turn with me now, please, in your Bible to the book of Leviticus and chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. And we'll read from verse number 1. Leviticus 19 and verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now further down, please, I want you to come down to verse number 17. Verse number 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Ye shall keep my statutes. I want you to keep that expression in mind. Ye shall keep my statutes. Now back to verse number 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Now that will suffice for the moment, but I would encourage you to keep your Bible at the ready, because we will turn to other scriptures this evening. Now, I want to address this subject tonight with God's help. Indeed, as I sat there, I was just again and again and again sending up a little prayer that God would help me tonight. We want to speak about tale-bearing. And I want to tell you something. This subject is applicable in every generation. It's truth that needs to be taught in every company of God's people. And I'll tell you something more. It's truth that needs to be taught again and again. For I would say to you tonight that in all probability, more than the balance of probability, I'm speaking tonight, and you know what it is to have been deeply wounded. Someone without any authority and without reason and without substantiation has maybe said something about you, and it got back to you, and in essence what they really were, they were simply a tale bearer. Now first of all, so that you can remember it, we're going to look at this subject of tale bearing in relation to the statute. Keep that in mind. In relation to the statute. That's why I emphasize verse number 19. Ye shall keep my statutes. What a statute, says someone. Well, I'll tell you what a statute is. It's a law which has been expressly enacted through the legislature. A statute is a written law. If you check your Chambers 20th Century Dictionary, you'll find that a statute, that is an expressly enacted law through the legislature. It's got onto the statute book. It's called a written law. And furthermore, it was always meant to be a permanent law. And you see the teaching here about the talebearer, it has the very stamp of permanency about it. It's endorsed in the New Testament. So the talebearer and the statute. Do you know what has happened? This particular law in verse number 16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Do you know what has happened? It has gone through and been passed in the legislature of heaven. This teaching has a very divine stamp upon it. It is a stamp of heaven upon it. It's a statute. It's found, it's written, it's got its way into God's statute book. God's statute book. And we oughtn't to violate it. Tail bearing and the statute. There it is in the book. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Now I want you to notice something about this chapter. First thing I want you to notice is where we commenced our reading. The end of verse number 2. Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now brethren and sisters, talebearing is out of keeping with the holy character of God. You know what the word means, don't you? This idea of talebearing, well, you know, it carries with it the idea of scandal. A talebearer is a scandalmonger. Yes, it carries with it the idea of scandal. It carries with it the idea of slander. And the very laws of this land, apart from the Bible altogether, the laws of this land, there are laws on the statute book to deal with slander. And defamation of character. And libel. Should we not, as the people of God, be very much into the need to recognize that this has to do with God's holiness? Be ye holy, for I am holy. And a talebearer is not behaving in the holy character of God. I want you to notice something else in this chapter. You have an expression in it. I am the Lord. Did you know how many times that occurs in this chapter? 15 times. So this very statute has come from the one who says, I am the Lord. It's not only, tail bearing isn't only out of keeping with the holy character of God, it's out of keeping with His Lordship. His Lordship. So we have here tail bearing and the statute. Now I want you to know something else. In this verse that we have read together, verse number 16, thou shalt not go up and down. It's very interesting. This will come up again when we turn to some other scriptures. Did you ever notice something about a talebearer? He doesn't even hardly know how to stay at home. These people are always on the move. They're going up and down and up and down. You see the warning of Paul to Timothy in regard to 1 Timothy 5 and even the young widows, the danger he wanted them to marry again, lest they be idle. Wandering about, the word means going about from house to house. Not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies speaking things which they ought not. What's the danger there? Tattlers, the word means gossipers. Busybodies, that means meddlers. And that's the talebearer. He's just a gossip. He's born that, he's a meddler. You know, he thrives on things that have nothing to do with him. Other men's matters. Dear brother, would you be caught at that? Would you soil your spirit by meddling in things that belong and have to do with someone else? And have nought whatsoever to do with you? Imagine being a would you like to be labelled a gossiper? Well, listen kindly to the ministry tonight. This is the talebearer and the statute. Look again at this verse number 16. If you still have your Bible open, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among my people. No, that's not what it says. Among thy people. Do you know who these people were? These were a people whom God had redeemed and brought out of Egypt with great power. Yes, they were His people, but He doesn't say among my people. He says among thy people. You see, he wants to get over the message to them that these people are your people. Imagine gossiping, slandering, scandal-mongering, tale-bearing in relation to one in the family. They're thy people. Look at something else that it says here. I want you to notice in verse number 17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. What does the Lord Jesus say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Do you know why he tale-bears? Because it's in his heart to do it. You see, really what comes out of here comes from the heart. You know, I have a book at home. It's called Choice Sayings of R.C. Chapman. Do you know what he said? I just noticed this the other day. Here's what he said. He that can bridle the heart can bridle its tongue. If we don't get mastery over our thoughts, we'll scarcely get mastery over our tongues. Notice, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. This all stems from the heart and the way we think. Then you'll notice what else we read. About at the end of verse number 18. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I think that would help us in relation to tale bearing. Could you go out and spread some damaging information about yourself? Of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. Well, you're supposed, the Bible would have us to love our neighbors as ourselves. No man ever yet, for example, you go to Ephesians 5, no man ever yet hated his own body, but nourishes it and cherishes it. And you certainly wouldn't do yourself damage, would you, with your own tongue? Well, you shouldn't anymore do damage to a fellow believer with that same tongue. Now remember this, please, because we're going to keep moving. It's very interesting, this subject. The tale-bearing in relation to the statute. Now turn over, please. I want you to come with me now to the book of the Proverbs, please, and we're going to spend most of our time there. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. And verse number 13. Proverbs 11 and verse number 13. A tale bearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Now a related verse, I want to come back to this, so if you want to keep your finger there, but I want you to pick up a related verse in chapter 20 of the Proverbs, please. Chapter 20. And verse number 19. He that goeth about, there you have it again, he's always on the move. You see, a tale bearer can't survive without information. So it says here, he that goeth about, as a tale bearer, revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Now we'll come back to that verse as well. But you see, both these verses deal with this issue. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Now back to 11 and number 13, verse number 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets. Isn't that a strange thing? There's almost a contradiction in terms there, isn't it? You see, the whole thing about a secret, if you're told a secret, the whole point of it is to stay a secret. To stay a secret. You see, the very stock and trade of a talebearer is secrets. He can't survive unless he gets them. And listen to what it says in this verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets. Isn't that disturbing? Someone, now listen to this please, someone has got the ear of a talebearer. We'll see about the talebearer's skills in a moment or two, but it seems they've poured into his ear, or her ear, something that was never meant to come out here. It was put into his ear, was never meant to come out of his mouth and his lips. Could I tell you something about a talebearer? He comes to you and tells you something of the secrets of another. You rest assured that he'll be as quick to tell your secrets to someone else. Here's the characteristic of the man or the woman who's a tale-bearer. What does it say in verse 13? A tale-bearer revealeth secrets. Revealeth secrets. Amazing. You know, the government over in Westminster, you understand, it has an official secret act. The things that were never meant to be told. And certain violation of such laws is actually regarded as treason. But a talebearer revealeth secrets. Now notice how the verse goes on, please. Then still in verse number 13 of chapter 11, but, remember when you get a but in your Bible, this isn't an address tonight on the English language or English language as such. But a but is a conjunction. It's a little joining word. It links with, follows with what went before, but it does more than that. It usually introduces a contrast, and that's exactly what it does here. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. In other words, here's the lesson you learn about the talebearer. He's not to be trusted. He's not faithful. But I want to say something to you tonight. You know, over the years, I've had many a sorrow poured into my ear. A secret. And it would have been a diabolical shame on me if I'd revealed it. Now we're not talking about sin that needs to be dealt. We're not talking about that. That's a different matter altogether. But you know, if you have a secret to tell, you make sure you tell it to someone who's faithful. A talebearer is not faithful to you. A talebearer revealeth secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit, what does he do? He does the very opposite. He concealeth the matter. You know, someone like that's great. Wonderful. Somebody will come along to the faithful one and say, did you hear such and such? And they'll not go around and tell a deliberate lie. But you can probe them. You can sit up all night with them, if you will. But I'll tell you one thing. They'll not reveal the secret because they're faithful. They'll conceal the matter. Conceal the matter. Let us turn to chapter 20 that we looked at, the second verse relating to. We're speaking now about the talebearer and secrets. We've left the talebearer and the statute. We're now looking at this talebearer and secrets. I want you to notice this verse 19 of chapter 20 again. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him. That's interesting, isn't it? That flattereth with his lips. What's that mean? Meddle not with him. See that word meddle? Do you know what it literally means? It means to intermix. To intermix. It means to traffic. You see a talebearer? Could I give you some good Bible advice? Eschew their company. Because as sure as your head's in your body, they're up to no good. They're up to no good. Meddle not with... What does it say? Therefore, meddle not with him. It means don't intermix with him. Do you know, you need his company like the way you need a sore headache. Don't intermix with him. Do you know one of the reasons? Look what follows in this verse 19 of chapter 20. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. You see, we're coming now to the skill of a talebearer. Do you know, he could tell you something damaging about somebody, and he can so package it, that you'd hardly really at first realize what he's really telling you. But it's more than that. In fact, this word flattereth here, flattereth with his lips, do you know what it means? It just means he opens them wide. Is that much he wants to get out? He just opens wide. But I like the idea of flattering, because I'll tell you what, You see, when he talks to you, he could get a secret out of you. Because this is a skilled operator. A talebearer is someone who seems to have honed their skill to a fine art. They flatter with their lips. And before you know, you could tell them something about somebody, and it may all seem very innocent, and that individual may seem most sincere, and before you know, he's got it out of you. He's flattered you with his lips. Remember this. Flattery always has an impure motive. Just keep that in mind. He flatters with his lips, but his motive is not pure. And you could easily unburden your heart and tell him something, maybe about yourself, something about somebody else that he doesn't know, and he's armed, and where is he? He's away to somebody else's house now. And he'll go through, and he'll bring him in, and he'll set him down, and the first thing nearly he'll say, hey, did you hear such and such? Because he's got it from you. Don't intermix with him. Don't intermix with him. Because he flatters with his lips. This is the one who reveals secrets, the talebearer. The talebearer in relation to the statue. The talebearer in relation to secrets. But it's more, there's more to it. I want you to move on with me, please. I want you to come to chapter 18. Chapter 18 of the Proverbs. And verse number 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now we'll come back to that expression. Look at that verse again. The words of a talebearer are, they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now we'll come back to that verse. Just a linking verse in chapter 26 of the Proverbs, please. Corresponding verse. Chapter 26. And verse number 22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go to the innermost parts of the belly. That's just a verbatim repeat of chapter 18 and verse number 8. Now I want you to notice now, we'll move on from the talebearer and the statute. The talebearer and secrets. Now we come to this expression here in verse 8 of chapter 18. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. I want to speak about that for a moment. But notice they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. It doesn't say they go into, it says they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Do you know how Mr. Darby translates that? They go down into the depths of the soul. The soul. It literally means the chambers of the soul. Now let's come back to the verses again. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Now you know his whole stock and trade has to do with words. This man's all about words. He'll not do much for you. Not at all. He's not interested in helping the people of God. He operates in words. Words. But look what his words are. They are as wounds. You know what that word for wounds means? I just like it even as it is. But I noticed Mr. Darby and even the Revised, they translate it dainty morsels. You need to watch someone like that, wouldn't you? Dainty morsels. Don't we all love a dainty morsel? Maybe you look at me, you know I like them too much. But dainty morsels. His words are just as dainty morsels. Before you know, you've imbibed it. You've taken it in. Even the very term dainty morsels brings in the idea of subtlety. This man is skilled. This woman is skilled. This individual is skilled. As I've said already, they've developed their skill into a fine art. Their words are as wounds or dainty morsels, and they go right down into the depths of the soul. You know, brethren and sisters, there's been many an individual, and because of the work of the talebearer, They are deeply wounded in the depths of their soul. They were maybe strung along because of the dainty morsels. That's what His words are like. You see His words? Plausible. It'll all seem so palatable. Or so reasonable. His words, they're like dainty morsels, but really they're wounds. They're wounds. And they go right down into the very depths or the chambers of the soul. I wonder, is there someone here tonight? I'm not now talking about these good young friends here. I'm talking about those maybe who are maybe a good bit older than me. And even as you sit there, you can remember maybe an incident 40 years ago. And your soul's hardly over it yet. What happened went right into the very depths of your soul, the very chamber of your soul. You see, the talebearer is in the business of deepful hurts. Could I exhort us one and all? Don't intermix with them. Never adopt his approach. Dear young sister, make up your mind when you're young. Young in the faith. I am not going to ever put myself in a position that I could bear the label, the designation, she's a talebearer. You can make up your mind, and with divine help you can do it. Brings a little verse to my mind. I was thinking about it earlier today. You know the psalmist asked the Lord to do for him, Psalm 141 and verse 3, set a watch, O God, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. You ask God to help you to set a watch at your mouth and the very door of your lips, that you might never resort to talebearing. The talebearer and the soul. Think of how deep the wound can be that's left by the talebearer. We're not finished yet. I want you to come with me now, please, to chapter 26 of the Proverbs. Chapter 26. And I want us to look at verse number 20. Chapter 26 and verse number 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? Where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Verse 21, as coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. And then that leads on to the verse we've considered. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Now, this becomes very interesting. The analogy that's used here. Now, I know we're likely most of us, not all here. Some good country people here. I was reared in the country, you know. I was reared in a house where there weren't any radiators. A big farmhouse. And there were times there were two open fires going on simultaneously in that house, burning in the grates. And maybe would have been sitting there in the evening, going way back to the days before I was saved, and the fire began, and my father would say, Robin, would you go out and get some wood, or the fire will go out. It'll go out. I suppose the sort of half analogy today, you need to fill up the oil tank, but it's not as good a picture as this, you know. Not nearly as good a picture. And you bring in the bucket or the basket of logs, and you feed the fire to keep it going. That's the analogy. Or bring in another shovel of coal and put it in the fire. Because, mind you, if you don't feed the fire, you know what'll happen to it. It'll just die. And that's the analogy that's used. Well, here's what the Bible says now in regard to this verse number 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Do you know, brethren and sisters, you can nearly always trace, if you could, the talebearer, you see, is so subtle. We see, when you get strife in an assembly among God's people, you can be sure somewhere in there there's a talebearer. I don't want to be unkind. If he dropped dead with a heart attack, you know what would happen? The strife would stop.
They would just stop because he keeps it going. He keeps it going. Just the way you feed fuel to a fire to keep the fire going. The tail bearer keeps the strife. This is tail bearing in relation to strife. It affects more than the soul, you know. It causes strife. Strife. And where there isn't a tail bearer, there isn't strife. I remember years ago learning about a man a long, long way away from here. He was an obnoxious man. Really, he was an obnoxious man. What he used to do? We could sit at the Lord's Supper, all right. But he used to get in his car, and he'd go from house to house, talking about rubbish and gossip and stuff that was so unhealthy for his own soul. And he wouldn't have been one bit behind the door at talking like that in the house of unbelievers. You see, let me use an expression. He's a real stirrer. Keeps it going. He has lost his raison d'etre if he can't spread strife. That's what he's there about. And when there's, isn't it amazing? Look at the categorical statement. Where there is no tail bearer, the strife ceaseth. There must be a few tail bearers in the country yet. There really must. Don't intermix with them. Don't meddle with them. Don't intermix with her. The best thing you can do to a tail bearer is to starve them. Starve them of information. If they can get it out of you, and they will, they'll ferret it out. I remember as a boy, you know, on Christmas Day, oh, I'm going back a good number of years now, I used to go out with my father and with two or three uncles, and they went out, you know, hunting foxes, badgers or anything they could get, and they went out with the spades and the guns, the shotguns, and they dug holes to try and get the fox out. And when they were beaten, you know what they did? They put a ferret in. He would have had out of you nearly before you'd know. Well, you see, where there's no tail bearer, there's no strife. Do you know what I would hate? I would hate that Robin McCool would cause strife because of his tongue. What did Paul write to him? Speaking things which they ought not. The tail bearer and strife. I'd like to stay with that, but I want you to come over to a very important one to show you exactly what a tailbearer can do. I want you to come, please, with me to Proverbs chapter 16. Now, time's going quickly. Proverbs chapter 16. Now, we could have linked that all up with James, as you know. The Epistle of James chapter 3. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And behold, a greater matter, a little fire kindleth. And that's just a bit like what we were speaking about there in the last passage. Now, chapter... I want you to come to chapter 16 of the Proverbs and verse number 28. A froward man, that word froward means false, soweth strife. Now we've been dealing with that. The tale bearer in relation to strife. Now look what follows. And a whisperer. Very interesting. A whisperer, if you please. It's really the word tailbearer. But remember, the tailbearer works by whispering. You ever get them in a, see one of them in a corner with somebody, and they're whispering away for all they can go? A whisperer. It's not always wise, man, if you're saying something, you have to whisper. Notice, a whisperer separateth chief friends. Oh, this is terrible. This word whisperer simply means tailbearer. Notice what he can do. Think of the capacity that a tail bearer has. He can do what maybe a storm in the life of a family can't do. He can separate chief. Mr. Darby translates it, he separates very friends. Chief friends. Who could separate chief friends? You know the sort of men, maybe two dear sisters and they're real good friends. And if one of them is a bit of a problem, the other's in supporting. Isn't it lovely to see it? That's the way it should be. If there's a trial in the family, she's over to help. Or vice versa, the other is over to help. And they even go shopping together if it's this. You maybe see them go to a conference together. and equally as maybe two, they're chief friends.
Do you know the individual who can split them? The talebearer. He separateth very friends.
How grievous. How does he do it? Let me give you a real life illustration.
A few years ago there were two brethren. And they were very, very close.
They were really inseparable. That's the idea here. Inseparable.
However, someone else said, one said something to one of these two inseparable friends about the other. It was extremely damaging. Unfortunately, the one who heard it did not check out the information as to its veracity, its truthfulness. He believed it. He broke the friendship. He did worse. He started to spread the slander as well. He started to spread it as well. And anything like that grows with the telling. Grows with the telling.
And it went far and wide. And the much maligned brother took seriously ill and lay dying.
The man who had been his inseparable friend came to see him, apologized to him as the poor man lay in his deathbed, and said, "I was wrong and I shouldn't have done it. I want you to forgive me." Well, the caliber of the man who was dying wasn't long. His caliber was manifested. He readily forgave him. But he said, "I want you to do something for me. I want you to take my pillow, this feather pillow, take it out to the garden, and I want you to scatter all those feathers." The man didn't quite understand, but thought, "The man's dying, I better do it. He's asked me to do it." So out he went to the garden, and he scattered all the feathers, came back to the bedside, told the dear brother, "I've done what you asked. Now," said the brother, "I want you to go back to the garden and gather up all the feathers." You know what the man said? "That is impossible." To which the dying man said, "Just so. I have readily forgiven you. From my point of view, you're a forgiven man. But my forgiveness will never revoke all the damage that's done." The talebearer in that illustration had separated chief friends. They were very friends. Very solemn, isn't it? How are we getting on with our tongue? Are we guarding the door of our mouth? Are we guarding the door of our lips? "Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." James is speaking about the tongue. This is all amply embellished in the New Testament. Peter writes about it. Paul writes about it to Timothy. 1 Peter 4, 1 Timothy 5. You'll get language like this. Do you know what one of the qualifications of a deacon's wife is? 1 Timothy 3. Here's what it says about the deacons, or those who are deacons, their wives. Two words. Not slanderers. Not slanderers. That's the talebearer. Defaming someone's character.
Maybe we all need to go home tonight and get down on our knees and check if there's any confession we need to do and ask God for grace and wisdom and strength. As I said, I will take heed unto my ways that I sin not with my tongue.
Did you ever hear of a man called Henry d'Urbainville? A man of a past generation, a very godly man. He wrote a little poem with three verses. Some of you know that I like literature. I'm going to read these three verses to you. I think they're very informative. "If you are tempted to reveal a tale by someone told about another, make it pass before you speak, three gates of gold. Three narrow gates. First, is it true? That's a good gate, isn't it? If you hear something about somebody, just make it go through this gate. It's a narrow gate. It'll test it. Is it true? Three narrow gates. First, is it true? Then, is it needful? Do you need to tell it? Is it needful? In your mind, give truthful answer. And the next is last and narrowest. Is it kind? Is it kind? You've got the three gates, haven't you? Is it true? Is it needful to tell it? Is it kind to tell it? See, there's many a thing was true, but it doesn't need to be told. Listen to the last verse. And if to reach your lips at last, it passes through these gateways three, then you may tell the tale, nor fear what the result of speech may be. If it's true and needful, think of that. And if it's kind, well, you can tell it. You can tell. If it passes through those three narrow gates of gold. Do you know just a few years ago, very recent years, there was a sister at a ministry meeting in an assembly in England. A brother came along to minister the word. He'd been there each year or every couple of years for the last 5 or 6 years. But he noticed on this occasion, a good brother, he noticed a woman of about 40 years of age sitting in the hall. And afterwards he was asking some of the brethren who she was, because she seemed to listen intently. Do you know what the first man told him? Oh, that's that woman had to be put away from the meeting about 10 years ago. Was it needful to say that? I don't think so. She was properly restored to the meeting. It wasn't needful to say that. Was it kind to say it? Not at all. The matter had been dealt with. Do you know what had to happen to the skin of the sin offering? In the Old Testament, it had to be burned without the camp. You see, sometimes we're not willing to burn the skin of a sin offering. We want to keep holding it up. Keep holding it up. Is it true? Is it needful to tell it? Would it be kind to tell it? Let me close with another illustration. I'm just watching the clock. Now, you came tonight and I don't want to keep you late. We could go on quite lengthily on this subject. There was a preacher, and a man approached him once with a bit of scandal about a sister in Christ. And so the man, I'll tell you, the tail bearer got it's an Ulster expression, I don't maybe think you do get this in the English dictionary, but you know, he got a bit of a gunk. He approached the wrong man. You know what the man said to him? He said, well, before you tell me this now, I want you to answer three questions. The first one is, will it do me any good to hear it? That's the first question. The second one is, will it be good for you to tell it? And the third one, and perhaps the most important one of the three, will it do any good for the person you're telling it about? You see, those little checks and balances would help us, beloved saints of God, to keep right with God. The talebearer, the talebearer and the statute, it's there, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among my people. The talebearer in the soul goes right down into the very depths, the chambers of the soul. The talebearer and strife. Talebearer and secrets, the talebearer and strife. The talebearer and schism. Maybe I didn't give you that word. Separate us, chief friend. Just puts a big schism. A schism between chief friend, the talebearer, and schism. You know, really, when you think of it, and I will close with this, brethren and sisters, look at the healthy things and the profitable things there are that we could talk about. May God preserve us from resorting
from resorting to tale bearing. May God bless his word to every heart. Shall we pray?